Eric, it's Sunday morning now. What did you see over the course of Saturday?
Well, let me tell you, Don, I have to tell you that I've been following Venezuela for a long time. And, you know, this is a political issue for me. This is an ideological issue for me. This is an issue of anti-imperialism. But being here in Venezuela, being on the ground here, I have to tell you that I am absolutely blown away by some of the things that I have seen. Today, I spent the beginning of the morning at Hugo Chavez's memorial, which was, of course, an astounding sight, basically a holy place here in Venezuela, but spent most of the day actually traveling around through various working class neighborhoods, visiting multiple communes, talking to some of the political figures, some of the militants, and I will tell you this, one thing that strikes me clearly, unmistakably, is the simple fact that if there is a forcible attempt to remove the duly elected, democratically elected government, it will be met with force. I have come into contact with serious militants who are prepared to lay down their lives if they have to prevent the right wing from effecting yet another coup and overthrowing this government. Now, the question in my mind has to do with how the elections in just a few hours from when we're speaking here, how these elections are actually going to go. If you listen to the corporate media in the United States, you are made to believe that in Venezuela, the opposition is leading by 20 to 30 points. The simple fact is that that is utterly false. That is false. And let me repeat once again, that is false. It seems to me that it is running neck and neck. I talked to some objective political opinions here, or rather some objective observers who are not necessarily 100% Chavista, but who are not supporters of the opposition. All of them say they have no idea how this is going to go. Now, let me just add one other thing, if I could, Don. A couple of days ago, I visited the CNE, that's the Consejo Nacional de Elecciones, okay, the Center of the National Elections, and I went through their entire process, and I can tell you there is absolutely no way to commit voter fraud in Venezuela. Yep. This is the most transparent electoral system in the world.
Yep. And let me ask you, the right tends to be centered in the urban areas. They are, you know, they're voters. The foot soldiers of the right are the urban middle class. And so there are also, of course, strongholds of the left in the cities, in the old barrios and places, like I would say now the new low-cost housing, the million units of that have been built over the past years. But out in the countryside, apparently that is all of the left. Have you been out there yet, or are you just seeing what's in front of you in Caracas?
Well, actually, so far we've been in Caracas, but we visited different settings within Caracas. Like for today, we went to two different communes, both of them urban communes, but very different in nature. In the coming days, we're going to have a chance to get outside of Caracas and talk to some people in the countryside. But unfortunately, you're somewhat limited because of various issues of transportation, traffic, and quite frankly, the economic situation right now is a difficult one. So getting around in Venezuela, especially if you're in a delegation, as I am, is not the easiest thing in the world. But your point, I think, is in a general sense, is very true. And remember, there are very significant hardships that a lot of people in Venezuela are facing right now. You have runaway inflation. You have a lack of goods being choked off because the importers and the distributors are these companies are still in the hands of the former ruling class, the well-to-do, the bourgeoisie. The government does not control those aspects of the economy. And so what we've seen just in these last few days is a very real determination on the part of the people of Venezuela not to give in to these forms of coercion, because that really is what it is. You know, I published an article about 36 hours ago about psychological and economic war that's been waged against Venezuela, and that is culminating right now as we speak here in just a few hours. These elections are not simply about the legislature. They are about whether or not the people of Venezuela are going to be able to stay on the the course of the Bolivarian Revolution in the face of economic and psychological war, because that is what's happening here. When you go and you change your money, or you try to pay a bill in a restaurant, and you have to pull out all of these hundred after hundred bolivares, you understand the difficulties that regular people are facing. You begin to see these lines at the pharmacies, lines at the ATMs. You understand the hardship, the regular everyday hardship for working people. That is an outgrowth, an aspect, an outcome of this U.S.-backed economic war. And we need to understand, those of us from the United States need to understand, it is the United States that is driving this. The United States is the one pouring the money into the opposition. The United States is the one forcing the distribution networks and the importers to choke off the supply of goods. All of this is being orchestrated by the United States. This is no conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. And there is a conspiracy going on against Venezuela. And that's what the people of this country are standing up against tomorrow.
You know, looking at tomorrow, it appears today, looking at the media here and over the last weeks, really, and you know, the whole scenario that's been unfolding in the media narrative here, it's almost something out of the early 1950s with the economic difficulties in Venezuela as the result of a failed system, and you know, the whole claptrap. You're describing lines, but those of us that remember Chile, for example, where one elected socialist government in an ocean of right-wing dictatorships in Latin America and the Caribbean warranted direct U.S. intervention, essentially, with the military taking over, shooting the president in the presidential palace, and installing a fascist dictatorship for decades. That was kicked off with, "We'll make the economy scream." And
now you have
a whole region that has gone much further than Chile was even contemplating going in 1973. And Venezuela is at the heart of all of that. It's the key to ALBA, which is the key to all these other regional groups that ultimately are the key to UNASUR. So the warfare that's being conducted against Venezuela is, you would say, next generation or two generations after the warfare that was conducted against Chile, and the impacts that you're talking about are exactly the same ones that the people of Chile went through in 1973.
Well, that's exactly right, Don. This is an attempt to intimidate the people of Venezuela, an intimidation to force them away from the Bolivarian government and back towards the right wing. That is what this is all about. It is psychological warfare. And let me add that this much of this also has to do, sure, it has to do with currency manipulation, choking off the supply of goods and all of the rest of these things. It also has to do
commodities
with clearly
too.
And unmistakably manipulated oil price. The
exactly.
collapse of the
right.
global oil price has wreaked havoc on the economy in Venezuela. And so what you're seeing now is that these people here are standing up against this form of economic warfare. And as you mentioned, Venezuela is central to the entire global economic system. It is the single most important oil exporting country in the Western Hemisphere. It is one of the two or three most important oil exporting countries in the world. It is the leading light of anti-imperialism in Latin America. It is the pole of resistance, the vanguard of resistance against the United States in its so-called backyard in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So for all of these reasons, Venezuela really matters here. And now let me point out a couple of other things about this election that are not being mentioned. Number one, you have pollsters here, independent pollers and researchers in Venezuela, highly respected, who are now coming out saying that they actually expect the Chavista, that is the government and the various left-wing political parties that are aligned in a coalition with the PSUV, that's the Socialist Party founded by Hugo Chavez, or popularized by Hugo Chavez. All of these parties have come together, and these pollsters are now predicting that the left is going to carry the day, that they may not get the entire popular vote, but that they will come out with probably more than 90 to 95 seats in the 167-seat National Assembly. Now, we need to be prepared here, Don, and this is what I want to stress to all of the listeners. We need to be prepared for what is going to happen when the left-wing Chavistas actually carry the day in these elections, because it is quite likely, if not a certainty, that the right wing is going to release their fascist mobs, their violent thugs, onto the streets to start bashing people, blocking the roads, setting tires on fire, and all of the rest of the tactics that they've used before. We here who are in Venezuela right now, we are prepared for this. I got my camera, I got everything with me, I'm ready to document all of that. And I'll tell you this, these people who I saw today, some of them real militants on the left, talking about being prepared for any potential violence and any potential challenge against their democratically elected government. Moreover, a challenge against what they see is the legacy of Hugo Chavez. They understand ultimately what the United States wants to do is not simply get rid of Maduro. They want to erase Chavez and Chavez's legacy. And that simply cannot and will not be allowed to happen.
And just a caution to you, by the way, some of the tactics that they used back in early last year after the 2013 election in December 2013, they had wire across the roads, tripping up motorcycles, taking the manhole covers off so people would dump their bikes as they went through. They had barbed wire about neck high, so if you're riding in an open vehicle, you're decapitated. All of this stuff is what the right wing does. So, yeah, I mean, the key is tomorrow. Regardless of the election, Capriles has already said that they will not honor a victory by the Great Patriotic Poll, which is the coalition that is led by the Venezuelan Socialist Party. And so they pour out into the street. They start their tactical warfare against the state. We've already had one coup in 2002 there, and the people took the government back. Do you think the people are willing to go forward and crush the right this time if it comes to that?
Absolutely. From what I can tell, the people are prepared for exactly that. Now, in 2002, there was a certain level of unity. I think that although there is a lower level of popularity, if you look at the popularity polls, the approval polls, I think that when it comes to an existential threat to the Bolivarian Revolution, you will see all of these various strains on the left coming together. Even those who have been disappointed with some of the outcomes of the Bolivarian government of the last, let's say, 2 years or so, even they will come out to defend their government, because there is a saying going around here in Venezuela, one I'm sure you know, Don, no volverán. We are not going back. We will not be thrown backwards. In other words, pa'lante, this moves forward, the struggle moves forward. That is these are not just slogans. These are not things that people are simply wearing on their t-shirts or saying to each other as some kind of credos. These are very real ideological positions that are deeply embedded in the culture and in the psyche, not just of the left, actually, but of a vast swath of people here in Venezuela. I do think they're ready to go to the mat for their revolution. They may not love everything that Maduro has done. They may not love everything or agree with everything that the government has done, and they may not be happy with the course of economic events in recent days, but I can tell you every single person I've spoken to understands that all of these things that we're witnessing in Venezuela are the product of a war being waged against it, that these are not simply impacts of mismanagement and corruption, but rather a much more deeply rooted issue.
Yeah, and that's exactly the way you described it, is how it's being described here in the United States, that it's mismanagement and corruption, and that the pink tide is being rolled back in places like Argentina and in Venezuela and soon in Brazil. That's how the New York Times is presenting it now. Finally, you know, the instrumentalities of, you know, that have enabled this warfare to take place against the country, the distribution networks, retail, the construction of, you know, the retail outlets, ownership of all of that and of the bulk of the media, which helps to organize the narrative for this warfare, have remained in the hands of the rich in that country. And of course, socialism implies, at the heart of it, class struggle on behalf of the workers. Do you think that the government will have the popular support moving forward to finish the revolution and to nationalize those industries? Or socialize them, let's put it that
way.
Well,
let me tell you something, Don. This is a very important question because I myself have been somewhat critical of the Bolivarian process in the sense that, and I'm of course a supporter of it, but in the sense that it didn't go far enough in the way that they did in Cuba, for example. They didn't expropriate the capitalist class. They didn't nationalize the media, nationalize all of the important industries and so forth. And they didn't do that, and in many ways it has cost them. However, I have to tell you, I was at a massive rally on Thursday here in Caracas in Simón Bolívar Square or Simón Bolívar Avenue. And when I was there and when I watched Nicolas Maduro on the stage, you know what he said? The one thing that really resonated with everybody, the 100,000 people who were there, whatever the number was, he said that when they win on Sunday, they will deepen the revolution. What that means, I don't think is 100% clear, but what I think is being implied here is that if they can come out victorious in this election, that is going to be the moment that they're going to take the next step in the Bolivarian revolutionary process. Now, what exactly that next step means, I think it's hard to say. I would guess that it's two simultaneous movements. On the one hand, I think that they're going to bring the hammer down on those who are deliberately tanking this economy, those who are speculating against the currency, those who are driving the black market, those who are choking off the supply of goods. I think they're going to bring the hammer down on them simultaneously. I think this means that the government is prepared to move forward with perhaps nationalizations or other forms of economic progress, changing economic policy, moving closer and closer to what you're describing here, namely the socialism that we all envision for Venezuela when Hugo Chavez started really talking about it seriously more than 10 years ago.
And that will be an example for the rest of Latin America, places like Argentina and Brazil in particular. Let's see how that develops. Eric, thank you very much.
Exactly.